host Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Conversations with Plants with Gloria Terry.
Gloria is a certified quantum touch practitioner and Reiki master who uses her healing to help clients, animals, and plants. Get ready for more stories of transformation. Welcome back, Gloria Terry.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to my show. I am Gloria Terry, and thank you for tuning in for today's show. I'm glad to be here, really, really glad to be here this time to speak about our friends, plants. Sometimes I'm tempted to say the elementals, because they are part of earth element. Yeah, so on today's show, we'll talk about the conversation I had with the rubber plant known as Ficus elastica. So my show is about creating awareness on the consciousness of plants, on the fact that they are sentient, they have identity, they have a life force energy in them, and they also have awareness. This show runs every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks on Thursdays on Pacific Standard at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time and 9 p.m. Central European Time. Yeah. You can find me on the homepage at www.newsforthesoul.com. When you get to the homepage, there are many of us there. So you scroll down and look for my name, Gloria Terry, Conversation with Plant. When you click on it, it will take you to my archive. Yeah. So I am a certified practitioner of energy healing, particularly quantum touch and Reiki. I'm also a channeler. And telepathically communicating with plant is something that happened to me. I didn't go for any training for this, which is why I was also told that it's normal. Actually, it is natural for humans because we all have the same this ability. Not exactly the same, but we all have it. So as long as you have an awareness, you have the ability to perceive things around you. So some of us are very attuned to hearing. Some of us by smell, the way we perceive. Some of us by sound, you hear the sound, not necessarily that it's talking to you, but you hear sound, different kinds of sound. Some people have vision, they see it in their vision, in colors. As long as every human being is intuitive, and you might be, there's this intuition in us that is more pronounced than the other. That doesn't mean that the other ones don't exist. And that is why it is better to leave yourself open and see which of your intuition is more pronounced than the other. And then develop the other ones that are not so pronounced because they are there. I used to think that I have to see, you know. I was really concentrating on seeing. But then hearing came up. And then smell came up. And then sound, that's hearing, and then colors. I see mostly some people are very, very, they see, they feel very clearly, you know. I see colors mostly, colors. I don't really see images, but I see colors. It's only when I'm doing like meditation that I see images, real life story images in my mind's eyes. Yeah, So telepathically communicating with plants is something that happened. And the plants said, for humans, as long as you have an intuition, it's possible. So it's not a thing. It's a normal human thing. Good. So in last show, we finished the conversation I had with a potted ficus tree on how our emotion or how other beings around us and or other elements around us feed on our emotions. Yeah, that was a very good one. And we also talked about fairies with a barrel cactus plant. You know, I was curious about fairies. I wanted to know what the plant thought about fairies. It was a wonderful conversation. I loved it. You know, I really... Okay, we'll talk about that as we progress in this show. So today we'll talk about the conversation I had with rubber plant called, like I said, Ficus elastica, about Earth and our neighbors, as in our solar system. Not exactly logically in that area, but it's just about my experience and what I used to think. So I'm going into it because I don't know how to introduce this. I'm just going to start by telling you my story. So when I started reading about celestial beings of other realities in our universe, of course, right from my childhood, starting with the church, with the scriptures, and then growing up into the books that are written by Dolores Cannon, The Convoluted Universe, and then... I think Dolores Cannon was the main one that I read before Zachariah Sitchin's. I read Zachariah Sitchin's just some months ago. I didn't really go. I was just curious because of the topic. That topic that lasted part one to part four. You know, that really got me into really going into the celestial beings and see exactly what science thinks about it, what is there in the mainstream, even though it's not in the mainstream, but what is it, what is there, you know? And then, the books written by Erich von Däniken, I'm also interested in him, in his style of writing and his experiences. And then the things that they used to call, or maybe they still call it conspiracy theory, I don't know. But then I went really started going into it. But in the beginning, I wasn't really interested. I wasn't, because it's like I've had too much of it. Coming from the church, I was a Christian, like a Catholic, and then a Mormon, which, by the way, I love being a Mormon. That was a good one. It was a stepping stone to where I am now, Mormonism. It really helped me. So with the discipline, actually, and knowing how to navigate my life, my three-dimensional life. So, I think I've had enough of that. Like, I got bored with it because everyone was looking up. And anything down here is evil, is yuck. Nobody's looking down. Only the so-called atheist, the so-called... I say so-called because I don't like to call them atheists, because even though they don't believe in anything, there's still something in them, you know, there's still a wisdom in them. So I don't really like to call anyone atheist because my husband is the one they will call atheist because he doesn't believe in anything, but he's a human being, you know. So I don't really like to label them like that anymore because they are intelligent also. And then I've lost my train of thought. So, and then the herbalists, and then people who believe in other gods, so-called elementals, you know, they were the bad ones. You know, everything about them is black and ugly. And then all the other ones are looking up, and everything that is white, that is up there, is white and bright. You know, so I was like, I think I've had too much about this up thing, and everything down here and underneath, nothing happens. When people die, when they come to, you know, when they have this this near-death experience, they fly upward. Like, none of them have ever said they are flying downward. Like, really? Nothing down there? I mean, the earth is round, right? So if we have north, south, We have West and East, right? So, okay, so when you are not, the gravity is not pulling you down, what direction are you flying to, you know? So I was like, I want to go down there. Like, I want to know what is going on down here in the planet and inside the planet. What is, like, is there life in there? Like, and at the time, I didn't find any book. Like, there was no book for me to really read to talk about Earth apart from the bad guys are down here. Apart from that, there was no... At the time, I didn't find books, and I haven't found books yet. So if you have any recommendation for me, I would love to go into it. And then I started reading about herbalists, and then I started reading about the shamans, you know, and earth spirit and all that. But there were not so many books out there on this. Maybe there are. I haven't seen them yet. Okay? So when I started conversing with plants, the plants called me, actually, because I was just doing my thing. And then I heard a sound in my head that it was not mine, you know. So when I started, you know, conversing with them, it then turned out that it is all the same. All that is up there is down here. Everything we're looking at that is up there is also down here. And the plant. So it's like now I've come to understand the concept as above, so below, in a different way. What is up there is also down here. So at the end of the day, it's like, all that story of all the beings and entities and celestial beings that are up there, they are also down here. They are also down here. So from this conversation, we hear what the plant says. All right, so backstory to this, to this, how with this umbrella plant. So in 2019, I had a conversation with this plant, an umbrella plant, and that show was on December 31st, 2020, and the topic was conversation with umbrella plant and rubber plant. At the time of that conversation, these two plants were in the same pot. They were growing together, but very slow. And I wanted them to grow faster, and because they are tall trees, especially rubber plant is a tall tree, but it was not growing fast. And the plants in that conversation told me to separate them and put them in different pots so that they can grow. That's the only way they grow fast as I want them to, you know. So I did as I was told in that conversation, but I failed many times, of course. So I took the leaves of the umbrella plant and I put it in water for it to start rooting. It did, but by the time I put it in the soil, it died. As for the rubber plant, okay, this was after I'd separated them. I didn't like that the rubber plant was too leggy. There was a long leg without leaves, and the leaves were just at the top. They were not growing in the stem because they have lost, because of lack of sunlight, and during the winter, the leaves, they fell. And it was not looking nice. It was too leggy. The same thing with the umbrella plant. So I decided to grow new ones. And it was then in the conversation they told me how I could do that. So I did as I was instructed by them, and I succeeded now. So I planted seven new rubber plants. I started with the leaves, and the leaves were not rooting. And so one day I was watering the rubber plant, and the rubber plant whispered to me, and you know, like I said, intuition, right? and intuitively pointed to me where I should cut it from the stem. It pointed to me that I should cut it from this line, from the stem. And then from the leaf, I should cut from that. You know, that means I was doing it wrongly. And then when I saw that, I did as I was shown a few days after that. So I cut the stem. I cut two. I cut the plant from the top where the leaves were and one new stem that was coming out. And then I put it in water. And then I took about five leaves and put in water. And they all started shooting. They all started really nicely rooting. And then I transferred them into the soil. Well, there were seven of them all together, two from the stem and five leaves, right? Four leaves died. So they were all seven together. And now I have only three. Three healthy umbrella, and sorry, three healthy rubber plants. Beautiful. I'm so excited that I succeeded. It's so beautiful. This plant is really beautiful. It looks like ficus tree, but the bigger size of it, the leaves are very big and they're really, really like rubber. And then now with the umbrella plant, I'm thinking I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm scared because the first one I didn't succeed and maybe I'm really scared. The plant is growing really beautifully, but it's still too leggy. Because, again, it lost a lot of leaves. Yeah, that was when I was learning how to do this. But I'm still learning anyway. So I'm going to go into the conversation now. So I greeted the plant, and it said it was nice to be here. And I said, it's been 2 years, I said. And the plant said, yes, it feels great. I'm excited, I said. I'm so happy you made it. And the plant said, I am too. It worked, didn't it? And I said, yes, it did, although not how I imagined it. But it did, and even better. Actually, the reality is better, far better than the way I had imagined it to be. And I tell you, you know, life is beautiful, really. If you just sit down and observe life, and just experience it is beautiful. So I said, I now have three healthy rubber plants. And the plant said, I'm glad you now know how difficult it is for plants or any young living organism to survive into maturity. And I said, yes, the winter months is always harsh. And the plant said, for my type, not for every plant, so for this type, right? Because it's dark time, and this plant likes light, you know. So how those other ones died was during the winter. We had a longer winter last year. So the soil was not draining the water enough, and so they were mostly in this mushy soil that was not draining water, and it killed them, and there was not enough sunlight at the time. So those four of them died. So it said for its type and not for all plants. And I said, yes, sure. Survival is a thing in this reality, hey? And the plant said, yes, it is. But we always strive, right? And I said, yes, we do. I mean, we earthlings. It's our planet. Come on. Yes, we do. And then the plant said, nothing is lost. The ones that didn't make it showed you how to deal with us in such a time and weather condition, be it extreme dryness or humidity, when it's light or when it's dark. And I said, yes, indeed, I learned. Now, humidity was what killed those ones because it was humid last year. And this year is dry. My God, we experienced such dryness in Berlin, so that our eyes, and we were sneezing most of the, okay, now this is the season of sneezing anyway, but it was so dry, January, February, and March, half part of, in fact, in March, so dry that I had to use eye drops, you know, to moist my eyes because it was really itchy. It was really, we experienced dryness this year. So When I said, yes, indeed, I learned, but it is easier with dryness, I said. At least I can see the effect it has on the plant. Like the effect, dryness, you see the plant, you can tell that the plant needs water, so you water it. You see that, because the leaves will start drying, so you know. And then with dryness, they can recover very fast. Once you put water, they start recovering. But with humidity, and when they are standing in water, it's hardly. By the time you realize that the plant, not just this one, plants in general, I think, for me, because I'm not an expert in this, by the time you realize that the plant is standing in water, the roots are already rotten, you know? So all my peace lily died like that. By the time I realized the poor plant is in water, the roots are already rotten. Anyway, so the plant said yes, but now you know how to look out for it and take action. And I said, yes, sure I do. I'm glad you three made it. And then the plant said, so, it asked, what do we talk about? You know, this is a plant that I have a relationship with, right? So the plant knows that we want to talk. And then I said, let's talk about you, your presence. And then it asks, what would you want to know about me? And then I said, in 2019, when we first had a conversation, you were in a pot with umbrella plant and you told me what to do so you both would grow better. Yes, said the plant. That conversation was all about growing you. Yes, the plant replied. May I know if you are the same entity in that one plant at that time? Now, since I have cut the plant in 7 parts, right, and only 3 survived, I wanted to know what the story is when plants are cut off. Of course, other, I think we have discussed this before with another plant, but of course you want to know from every plant and you want to hear from how is it, you know. Every plant may have different stories, of course. So when I said, so because I've cut them off and I've separated them to grow in different, and to grow completely new in different pots, I wanted to know what happens to the spirit of the plant. I wanted to know if it's fragmented or it's splitted. I want to know if what happens. Like, does it grow as one in one whole being in separate pots, or of course that will be in different location. Just in case, like you take one of them and travel with it to a different country. What is going to happen? What is with the spirit of the plant? Like, what is the being of the plant? Is it the same being that will be in 3 different pots or 3 different locations? Or what? I wanted to know. I think I've had this before, but I don't remember what the answer was. So, of course, I asked again. And then, but even if I remember, I would still have asked again, because I wanted to see if there are other different answers to it, which is possible. So I'm really open for these possibilities. So the plant said, of course, I am the same plant, right? The same entity. And then I said, there are 3 of you now. And the plant said, one entity in one pot and 2 different entities in the other 2 pots. Did you split? I asked. No, I didn't. I withdrew from the other 2 and the bodies were occupied by new entities. I see, I exclaimed. Did you withdraw from the bodies of the plant immediately they were cut off? Or was it when they started to root? And then, I think, when they started rooting. And then the plant replied, it was immediately they were cut off from the stem that I withdrew. I was the one growing at the top of the plant, the main one with the long stem and root. That's the mother plant, okay? The big one, the other big one was the one cut off from the lower stem, and the small one grew from leaf. Ah, yes, 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 I remember, I said. Oh, it was the only surviving one from five other leaves, I said. At the time of this conversation, I'd forgotten this story. So during the conversation, I didn't remember. Oh, yes. And then the plant said, yes, yes. And then I said, what a struggle. And we laughed. It was like what a struggle to have grown, especially for the one that grew from the leaf. Like, what a struggle to have grown from the leaf. I mean, struggle with me, because I'm not a farmer. I'm just learning from the plant, and of course from internet, but mostly from the plant, because they have to tell me first, and I check it out on the internet, and it's not exactly what they tell you the internet, that it doesn't happen exactly like that, because this thing is like experiment, you know. It's like experimenting things in lab. It might not come out exactly like they said. It might. It depends. There's weather condition. There is the time. There is the season. There's the location. There is the temperature. And all those things play a role. So I listened to the plant first. And then the plant said, so after we were separated, and I remained the old stem, just the head, no root. I started rooting first. There was a time between cut, when the new entity arrived and started rooting the other two. Okay, so what it meant was, immediately after I cut the plant from the stem, I hope stem is the name of what they call it. So immediately after I cut it, The one that was the mother plant started rooting before the other ones started rooting. So there was a time between them. They did not all start rooting at the same time. The ones who came from the mother plant started rooting first. Okay? So, and then this happened because there was a time between before the new entity took over the body of the plant and started life in it. Okay, it was alive, so started rooting it instead of making the root, right? Okay, so the plant said, Where was I? Okay, but I started rooting first. Good. And then when the plant said that, I said, time in between the cut and rooting? It said yes. And then I asked, why? What happened then, between that space of time, right? And the plant said, okay, so you know from what you have learned previously that souls with spirit, there are so many souls waiting to embody or to take on earthly bodies, right? Right. I learned this. I think I learned this from a channeling session. That somebody asked in a channeling session about souls that want to come to Earth. She was thinking that there are not so many souls that want to come to Earth, you know. So it's as if there are too many bodies for the souls that want to, and what she meant was that the souls that are coming to Earth are not many. There are too many bodies to embody souls. That was what she meant. Like, it's not enough. There are not many. So in that channeling, the channel told her, the answer to that question was that there are so many souls that are waiting to take on earthly bodies. And then in that channel, they explained to her the immensity of the universe and that Earth is just like a dot in the universe. That's how small Earth is. So there's So the thinking that there are no enough souls to embody human body is you know what, we shouldn't even think about that. Like the universe is so immense that Earth is just a small planet. So to think that there are no souls to embody human bodies is like, in fact, there are more souls and less bodies. So that was the kind of the reply that was given to her. So the plant said, since I've learned from that, as I know I have learned from that, right? So it said, well, that's right. Before the court, there were already available entities, which is spirit, waiting. But there is the transition time that needs to be completed before the new takes over the bodies. The old entity must completely leave the body and empty it of its vibration, its density, and its energy before the new one occupies it. I hope you understand what I mean. So at the time I was cutting the plant, there were already there are already beings waiting to embody the body of the plants that are going to grow. Okay? To life it and make it grow. There are already beings waiting for that. So it's not as if it's the lack of beings to embody these earthly bodies. There are always beings that are waiting to be called in into the body of an of a life form to life it. Okay, so there's no lack in the universe. Come on, there's lack does not exist. Lack is only human philosophy because they made it so, just happening among human culture because humans made it so. Okay, that's our institution, our organization, our things, the way we organize our society. That's where lack exists. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. So after he said that, I said, oh, I see. So as the old is leaving, its energy keeps the plant and the stem and the leaves alive until the process of transition is completed before the new takes over. And the plant said yes. So, and then I asked, how long does this take? How long does this transition between the old and the new to take on the body? Remember, these plants are already there. It's not a seed. It's not a seed. It's a plant. Is that what they call transplant? I think that's what it's called, transplant. It's not seed. It's not growing from seed. It's only growing from a plant. So it will shoot first. It will root first before it starts growing. So it grows the root first. So we are talking about the rooting time. Okay, the time between cutting the plant and when the plant starts rooting. There's a transition that is going on between the old being that was in the plant and the new one that is coming to take over, okay, from the old ones, that the old one that is leaving that plant. So, and then I asked, how long does it take? And then the plant said days. Of course, we are earthlings, so we speak on, we are earthlings, right? And then he said days, from 7 to 8 days, sometimes longer depending on the environment and the conditions or the situation, if the plant's body is healthy or not. So all those play a role to determine how long it's going to take for this transition, okay? I'm sure a plant that is sick will take longer time, okay? So I was like, oh, wow, interesting. So the new takes over and starts the rooting process. Yes, answered the plant. Is this the time when the cut stem, the stem that's already cut, or the leaf is like in stagnation before the rooting begins? And the plant said, yes, but it is not stagnated. It's never stagnated. It is always growing and in movement. It looks like stagnation in the eyes of a human being, but it is not. There is always movement within and without and all around it. I get it. I replied, I get it. So how, so now that there are three of you, and then the plant said, one of me, yes, and two different entities. Ah, yes, yes, I exclaimed, okay. So tell me, I continued. And then I stopped because then I think I remember something. I said, well, it has been quite an experience for you. And the plant said, not boring. And then we laughed. I can imagine being caught many times because, I mean, seven. I had seven. I cut that plant into seven places. So I was like, that was quite an experience. And then he said it was not boring anyway. And then we laughed. Okay, I continued. May I know where you were, where you are from? Now I want to know where the being in this rubber plant is from. And the plant said, it's funny how you always want to know where each plant spirit is from originally. And I said, I like to know. I'm curious. You know, I didn't intend to grow up. I said, I didn't intend to go up there to the stars to know what they are or how they are or what dimension or species or civilization or what reality they are. I wasn't interested because we have so many stories from people who astral travel, from channelers and astrologists, that is, if they tell us anything, as they, you know, they only tell us in movies, but they haven't told us anything in reality. I mean, the last time I checked, they didn't tell us. It is only some individuals who expose certain things and are still exposing, right? But they haven't officially come out to say, yes, we have seen extraterrestrials, you know? So only in the movies it happens. And then we also, and then in our religion too, all the comings and goings of celestial bodies and celestial beings in our folk stories, in our movies, I said, I was interested on earthlings, the history and stories of earth, elementals. But what I have experienced from learning from all of these conversations we've been having is that what is out there is also in here. And the plant said, that's right. The same thing that they have discovered, I continued, seen or heard, experienced or witnessed is just the same down here. And the plant said, as above, so below. Down here is a reflection of what's up there and vice versa. It is fascinating, I said. I thought the earthlings or the elemental beings are entirely different, but it seems there are no difference. And the plant said, only in purpose. The earthlings or elementals have a life purpose of earthing the earth. The celestial beings have the purpose of celestializing other spaces or deeper space, whatever you call it. They have their different primary purposes depending on where they are located, to life that place. Every living organism in the multiverse has a purpose. I'm on Earth, to Earth, Earth, just like any other creature. It is my primary purpose. Wow, isn't that interesting? And when he said that what is down here is a reflection of what is up there and vice versa. You know, it's funny when humans, because we always feel insecure and we don't value ourselves, we look up there for perfection, We want to look like the gods. Whoever gave us the impression that the gods are perfect and we are not, I don't know. But we always look up there. We always see ourselves as ugly, weak, and, you know, we don't value ourselves. We don't see the value of being a human being. And for that reason, we abuse, we misuse, we insult ourselves and our bodies. Because we are looking up there and thinking that whatever is up there is perfect and is loving and is all that. Meanwhile, we are the reflection of that. We can only see that when we look in here, because it's a reflection. There's no difference. The difference is our conditioning. But when we start looking inward, in here and in our planet, and see the different life forms in our planet and begin to appreciate it and respect it, then we'll begin to see with our two eyes, with our two three-dimensional human body eyes, we'll begin to see what is up there. And our bodies, all the cells in our bodies, which, by the way, feel everything. Somebody said something today that I wrote down. Somebody said, we are always in communication with the stars. Always. Unconscious to our conditioned conscious mind. We are always in communication with the stars. Every time there's a movement, we feel it. Every time, whether it's full moon, new moon, whether there is sunshine or no sunshine, every time the planets are moving, we are feeling the impact. And here we are thinking that we are, oh dear humans, it's time to wake up to who you are. See yourself. Really, it's time. Anyway, let's go on. So, and then when it said that about the primary purpose of every celestial being and every earth elemental, about our primary purpose, and then I said, and what is the secondary purpose? And I asked, what is the secondary purpose? And it's a female energy, right? And then the plant said, to enjoy. I said, I felt it as a female energy. That is the feeling I got with this plant. I think I said it in that other conversation. And then the plant said, the secondary purpose is to enjoy the experience. Just watch it, witness it, be it. And then I said, is that simple? And the plant said, yes, sounds simple, but it is that simple. And then I said, not to the human mind. And the plant said, that is a discussion for another day. I am from one of the stars close to Saturn, between Saturn and Jupiter. The distance between them. We know there's a distance. You know, I had to check it. I had to check it after this conversation. After this session, I had to Google it, like went to Google and check it. And there is a space between Jupiter and Saturn. There is a space. And then I checked where they are now, because all the planets are in movement. They are always moving. Do you know, I used to think they were stagnant. Oh, my mind. I used to think they are stagnant. You know, I used to think, it's my mind, okay? And because my mind was reading the picture we're looking at, it was picture. It was not a three-dimensional thing. It was picture. So my mind thought they were all stagnant, like they were just there. But they move. They all change position. They're moving. They are orbiting the sun every minute and changing position. Position? Because they're movement, they're orbiting the sun. So they're always in that movement, in their orbiting ring, whatever they call that thing. They're always moving. So between Jupiter and Saturn, there's a space in between, and this plant said it is from one of the stars between the space, but closer to Saturn, right? And then he continued and said, it is a growing planet. It needs time to grow out. So, of course, we call it star, right? I think they said a star is not a planet. I don't know. The time measurement is slower than Earth's. The seasons are faster here. Okay, so when he said the time measurement is slower than Earth, and I went to check it, I kind of think, this is my mind thinking, I'm thinking that the planets that are farther away from the sun, they orbit the sun slower than the ones that are closer to the sun. You know, like Earth is orbiting the sun 360 days, that's our 1 year, right? And other ones take thousands of Earth years to orbit the sun. So I'm thinking that those planets that are, you know what, I wasn't even interested in this thing until this plant thing started, right? I wasn't really interested. Now I'm so excited. Like astrology excites me, and science movies excite me so much. I didn't know I would come to be like this. And I love this person that I am now. I'm loving this person. I'm curious to see what I'll become in the next 10 years. Let's give it 10 years. You know, so after, as I was looking at it, because I went to check it out on the internet, and at the time of this conversation with this plant, this was Tuesday, right? Tuesday, 5th of April. Tuesday, right? Okay. And it was around, oh Lord, I didn't look at the time. But when I checked it at the time, I checked the planet in relation to the sun and the earth, where the earth is. And then it was fascinating. The website is the planets. theplanetstoday.com, because you can actually click it to animate it, to see the movement. So it's like they already have a calendar for full moon to the moon cycle. Like they already have that. So they know where the planets are going to be. So whoever developed that software, good job. It is beautiful and very, very interesting to look at. All right. So when the plant said that, the time measurement, right? When it finished saying, talking about the time measurement, I then said, so you mean you are in our solar plexus? Solar plexus. Okay. So I said, you mean you are in our solar system? And the plant said, that's right. You are suddenly excited. Yeah, I became excited immediately. I heard like I was in a dreamy state before, but at this time I was awake and I was like, you mean you are in our solar system? And the plant said, that's right, you are suddenly excited. I said, yes, it yes. Is it true? And of course I continued my question. Is it true that most planets in our solar system are Earth-like? And I think this was what got me excited, because I wanted to know this. And the plant said, not exactly Earth-like, but they have some common chemical components that make it inhabitable for some Earth species. Not all. Meaning not all of the planets are Earth-like, and the ones that are Earth-like, not all of Earth species can inhabit those planets. Not all. Some. Okay, and then I said, okay, I see. So now it depends. Not all, but most. I don't know. He said not all. That's what he said. Okay, and then I said, plant went on and continued. I said, the planet is still forming. That's its planet of origin before it came to Earth, from where it came to Earth. He said, the planet is still forming, so it's not like it is inhabitable now. It will take some time for it to be completed. So you left and came to Earth, I asked. And then the plant, okay, I'm going to rush now. See myself rushing the time. I have only a few minutes now, and I want to finish this. And then the plant said, my part, a part of me is still there, and I am here. That facet of my consciousness is, and if you will, that if you will call it consciousness, that part, that facet of my consciousness is here for a time slot. I will return when it is over, when this time slot for it is over. I exclaimed, is that facet on a break or something? And the plant said, no, just it's just having an experience, just want to have an experience, an earthly experience. And then I asked, but would you need this experience in that planet? Like, I wanted to know, the experience on Earth, is it relevant? Is it relevant for that facet in that planet for it to have come over to, for a facet of its whole to be here? And then the plant said, sure, we always do. Like I said, this new planet is growing. We need experiences. So it's like they collect experiences from different planets. I'm talking about life form now. It's like life forms in our universe travel to other planets that are already in their process, because of course Earth is still in its process. Earth is not there yet. It's still a baby. So it's like they travel to planets that are already in their process, or some that are already there, like they have already matured, right? Or born, or given birth to, and mature. I'm talking about cosmic birth. And they are already matured. It's like these new ones, their consciousness travel to these places to gather information, to gather experiences, to form the new planet. This is not a body thing now. This is an energetic thing. Yeah. It's not body. It's not body three dimension. This is we are beyond three dimension now. So that's the impression I'm getting, that beings, entities, spirits, like they travel to different dimensions, different spaces to gather information, to use that, to gather experiences, to use that experience to form a new planet. So, where was I? So, and then the plant said, when the plant said, sure, we always do. Like I said, this new planet is growing. We need experiences. And then I asked, did you split? And then the plant said, no, it's just a facet, another part of me. A facet, huh? You know, like how to describe a facet? Like when you're looking at a diamond, diamonds have different facets, right? So it's just, when it comes to this diamond, a crystal has different facets. So it's just one facet that is having experience here on Earth. Why the other facet is still there? So this facet will gather this experience and return. This is just one example. But I think in the universe, a lot of them do this. We do this. Because when you talk about facet, it's just an aspect of us that is experiencing life somewhere, and then it will return to the whole. All right. So, oh boy. I'm almost done. Okay. And then when I asked if it's split, he said no. And then I said, aha, I get it. Is the other facet on that planet aware of this one here? And the plant said, yes, very much aware. And I said, interesting. And we ended the conversation there because I want to continue. This is a very interesting thing. Because humans, we don't remember anything. Like, we don't even know about the other facet of ourselves, what's going on. You know, we don't. So I wanted to continue the conversation here another time. I don't know when, but I would like to continue it here. So, yeah, my time is up. So in conclusion, oh boy, I wish... This is a beautiful, beautiful conversation we had, and the feeling I had after it. See, when we use human words to explain what we experience, the words are often too limited to experience the real thing. There are no words to experience everything that we experienced. Okay? So in conclusion, the day, again, I'm quoting Nikola Tesla, The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Thank you for tuning in for today's show. We will see. See you in 2 weeks' time. That might be my last show, I think. I think it's my last show. If it is, well, I wish you all the best. Apart from News for the Soul website, you can always contact me at www.gloriaterry.com. Remember, energy follows thought, and your love has an impact. This is Gloria Terry, and I wish you love, happiness, and good health. Do have a pleasant time. Take care of yourself, and good night from Germany. Love, light.